26. Keep the fire burning. If people around you don't seem to have much enthusiasm for the Lord, don't allow them to quench your own zeal. Try to have at least one friend that you can spend time with from time to time who's excited about the Lord like you are. You see, there are way too many people in our lives who are not passionate about Christ. They don't understand our enthusiasm. They don't understand our excitement about the Lord. But there will be people in your life who will totally understand. And you need each other. You have to stoke each other's flame. And we need to be very patient with people who don't have the enthusiasm. Hopefully, the flame that's burning in us will be catching, and they'll catch some of that enthusiasm, and they'll catch some of that passion. So we don't want to be down on them. We don't want to be arrogant about it. We don't want to be ugly toward them. We want to be loving and gentle and gracious toward them and pray that they'll catch the fire too. But watch out, because if we're not careful, there'll be well-intentioned people who will just try to put our fire out because they think we'll be happier and we'll be less likely to be disappointed if the fire goes out. It's crazy thinking, but there are people out there like that. Don't allow that to happen. Keep the fire burning. Stay passionate about Jesus. Number 27, be patient with people who can't see what you see, who don't seem to be excited or don't seem to be growing like you think they should. Already talked about this, but let me reemphasize it. There will be people who you will just be so frustrated with. You'll say, come on, can't they see? Can't they get it? And you'll be so frustrated. But the light hasn't come on yet for them. God just wants you to love them and be patient with them and be kind to them and keep praying for them. And maybe one day the light will come on. You have to be patient with people who don't see what you see yet. 28. Be prepared for fiery trials. Learn how to help others who are going through fiery trials of their own. The Bible is very clear about this. Everyone who lives godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You're going to have some trials. You'll have different kinds of trials, different kinds of suffering. And as we approach the end times, closer and closer to the end, I think we can expect more and more. Fiery trials, difficult times. So we need to learn how to handle that. We need to be prepared for it. Don't be shocked by it. Be prepared for it. I've got some podcasts and some things on our website about fiery trials. You might want to do a search on aboundinjoy.com for fiery trials. But learn the scriptures that deal with fiery trials. And not only be able to deal with it yourself, but help others deal with it when they go through the times of fiery trials. Number 29. Keep memorizing scripture. Get as much of God's word in your heart as you can. Now be careful, especially if you've been a weaker student in your student days. You may use that as an excuse, as a kind of a cop-out. Well, I don't have a good mind for memorizing scripture. That's not true. That's from the enemy. You can memorize scripture. It may be slow at first, but if you put yourself to it, you can memorize scripture. And the key is to have a plan. Could be cards. There are several ways you can make little recordings of scripture. I can help you with this too if you want some help. But there are different ways to do it. There are apps that will help you memorize scripture. Some really excellent ones out there. And the key is to just have a time. Even if it's just 5 or 10 minutes a day that you plan to give to scripture memory, you'll find yourself actually probably giving more to it once you get started. But getting started, getting over that initial inertia is the problem. So don't let yourself get cheated out of memorizing scripture. Satan doesn't want God's word in your heart. But when you get it in your heart, the Holy Spirit can then pull it out of you just when you need it, just when someone else needs it, and you can quote that scripture that they need to hear. Now you'll forget it. You'll memorize and forget, and then you'll have to re-memorize. And you may forget it again, and you re-memorize. And eventually, a lot of the verses you'll finally get engrafted into your heart so that they're there for the rest of your life. And whenever you need them, there you can pull them out. You say, that's going to take a lot of work. Oh, yes. It all takes work. Discipline. Yes. Yes. But start memorizing scripture. Be ruthless with yourself. Don't make excuses. Don't talk about how busy you are. Don't talk about how many urgent things you got going on. What can be more important than hiding God's word in your heart that you might not sin against Him? Memorize scripture. Number 30, when preaching, especially things that are difficult to hear, I would encourage you to use the pronoun we more than the pronoun you. It's easy to say, you guys need to do this, when we really ought to be saying, we all need to work on this. We need this. We need to learn this. We need to do this. Use we more than you. Number 31, ask God to give you a project. And that could be a Bible study project, a sermon series, a ministry project. It goes on and on. There are all kinds of ways you can be working on a project. Now, I know we're all built differently, so this may not be the same to you as it is to me. But I found through my life that I've gotten more things done when I thought of it, what I was doing as a project. I asked God to give me a project, a ministry project, or a Bible study project, and I was very goal-oriented then. I knew what I was trying to get done, and so I would devote the time to it, the energy to it, to get it done, instead of just kind of randomly doing things. And I think it helps focus us when we have a project. So, for example, I don't know if you put chains in your Bible or not, but that can be a very useful Bible study tool where you find all the scriptures, or maybe a lot of the scriptures that speak to one topic, and you write down where the first verse is in the front of your Bible, and then when you get to that verse, you write down the next reference, you get to that one, you write down the next one, so you make a chain through your Bible. That's the kind of project I'm talking about. Or maybe you're wanting to study all that the Bible has to say about security of the believer, so you make a study on security of the believer. Or maybe you want to study as closely as you can a book of the Bible, or a certain section of a book of the Bible if it's a longer book, and you're going to do some word studies, and you're going to put together some notes so that if you ever get a chance to teach through that section of the Bible, you'll have some notes already put together. It could be a nursing home project. It could be a jail ministry project. It could be working for a project of a ministry of some kind that ministers to the poor. There are all kinds of projects. It could be hospital visitation. It could be an evangelistic project of some kind where you're trying to knock on some doors, door-to-door visitation. Have a project. Put it together. Bible memory projects. You know, there are projects that for all kinds of things, and it will help focus you on getting the job done. Number 32, be very careful and wise in the way you relate to the opposite sex. Never counsel a woman alone. Learn how to hug in a discreet and godly way. Now, we've already talked about the danger of sexual temptations in our culture. But don't ever think you're above this. Don't ever think there's no way you could fall here, because too many have. Most everybody who falls at one point thought it couldn't possibly happen to me. If you have to counsel a woman, have your wife with you. Or if she can't or doesn't want to, you could have some other godly men with you. Or maybe even a better idea, when women need counsel, have godly women in the church who've learned how to give wise counsel, who've learned how to help other women with scriptures, and make sure you've got some godly women trained in your church to help younger women with their needs, with their problems. Be very careful. That includes the way we hug people. Learn how to hug with discretion. Learn how to hug in a godly way. We cannot be too careful in the way we relate to the opposite sex. And as soon as you start thinking, oh, that could never happen to me, watch out. Watch out. Be wise. Number 33 says, spend plenty of time alone with the Lord. If you feel like you're too busy for that, then you're just too busy. You need to find time to spend alone with the Lord. I'll go a step further. I would say 99.9% of us need to make sure it's in the morning. There may be a few people for whom the morning doesn't work. We need lots of sleep. There's no question about that. So you have to get to bed early enough to get up early enough so you can start your day alone with the Lord. There's no way we can be effective for the Lord if we're not spending time alone with Him, in His Word, in prayer, not preparing for a sermon, not preparing to teach, just listening to God and talking to God. We need that time alone to keep us very, very close and intimate with our Lord Jesus. Number 34, practice praising and worshiping the Lord with all your heart. Set an example in the way you worship for others to follow. One of the things that's frustrated me to no end through the years is being in a worship service where the pastor doesn't worship. Everybody around him is singing praise to the Lord and glorifying God, and the pastor's standing there looking important, maybe. I don't know. Looking dignified, maybe. That was Michal's problem with David. You remember that? David didn't look dignified to her. Why? Because he was worshiping God with energy. He was putting everything he had into worshiping God. And I want to encourage you, practice that. Maybe start while you're alone. Use your voice to worship God. Use your hands to worship God. Use some energy to worship God. Sing with all your heart to the Lord. And then don't be afraid of doing that in front of other people. Set an example. We're talking about Jesus here. We're talking about God. We ought to be excited about Him. We ought to be thrilled about Him. He ought to be turning us on. And we ought to be so excited that we want to communicate to Him. And even if other people laugh at us, we want to communicate to Him that we're excited about Him. And we're worshiping Him. And we're praising Him. And we're exalting Him. Don't think about yourself. Don't get so hung up on how you look that you can't worship Jesus. Worship Him with all your heart. Put your energy into it, and God will bless that, and other people will learn how to worship by following your example. Number 35, be faithful with God's tithe. Be a generous giver. I've known preachers who felt like their job was to receive. It's the people's job to give. They're giving to the preacher, right, so he can do the work of the ministry. That's foolish thinking. We all are supposed to be givers, generous givers, and we need to ask God to show us what to give and to how much to give and to whom to give and be generous givers. Set an example. It's okay for people to know that you're giving. Now, be careful with that. I've known pastors who miscommunicated at this point. If the congregation thinks you're just bragging about how much you're giving to the church, they may say, oh yeah, sure, he's giving to the church because it's his livelihood. That's where he's getting his income. Yeah, he's going to set an example. So be careful with it. But whether they know what you're giving or not, or whether they know whether you're giving or not, you know God knows, and you need to make up your mind you're going to be a generous giver so that when you encourage other people to give, you can encourage them because you're doing it yourself. Number 36, learn to graciously say no. Don't accept responsibilities just because someone else tries to burden you with them. People may expect you to do what God does not want you to do. There are going to be many, many, many good things that you could do. Nothing wrong, good stuff. It's just that you don't have enough time and energy to do everything. And I've fallen into this trap so many times. Well-intentioned people come to me with urgent things they really want me to do. And I feel guilty if I don't do it, and so I say yes, and then later on I realize, I shouldn't have said yes to that. My plate's already full. And we say yes to too many things. And you know who usually gets cheated? Our spouse and our kids. We say yes to a bunch of other stuff, and then we wind up putting our spouse and our kids, and maybe even the Lord, because we'll not spend the time with Him in His Word, prayer, memorizing Scripture, because we're too busy doing all the stuff that we've said yes to, that God did not want us to say yes to. He wanted somebody else to do that. And even though the person was well-intentioned, and even though they really thought this would be best for us, they're not God, and they don't know. Now, don't be ugly. You can say, you know, I am so sorry, and I hope you can understand. I just can't do that, and my plate is just full, and I hope you can understand that I just can't take on any more responsibility right now. Be gracious, but say no. All right, number 37 goes right along with 36. Watch your priorities. You can fill up your time doing good things and not get around to doing what God really wants you to do. So be careful. You'll find yourself doing a lot of good stuff and you'll realize, wow, I'm leaving out the really important stuff. And that leads us to number 38. 38 says, learn to distinguish the important things from the urgent things. Now, this is huge, so listen carefully. There are many things you have to do that are very urgent. There's a message that has to be preached. There's a lesson that has to be taught. There's a meeting that you have to attend. And you've got all these things that are crowding in on you, demanding your attention and your time because they have deadlines associated with them. Has to be done. Has to be done now. There are other things in your life that are extremely important, more important than almost any of these urgent things, but they don't have a deadline associated with it. And you might include things like spending time alone with your wife or your kids or spending time alone with the Lord or memorizing Bible verses. Those things are hugely important. And there are many people who look back after years of concentrating on the urgent stuff and they realize, I've not really done the things that were most important. I've been consumed with the urgencies. Don't let that happen to you. Make time to spend time alone with the Lord. Make time to spend time alone with your wife. Make time to spend time alone with your kids. And when I say time alone with your wife and kids, I'm talking about face-to-face, eyeball-to-eyeball communication going on there, where you're blessing them, and you're paying attention to them, you're listening to them. Urgent will crowd that out. That's the important thing. Don't let the urgent crowd out the important. Number 39, poke less fun at others and poke more fun at yourself. A lot of us like to tease. Nothing wrong with teasing. Nothing wrong with kind of poking at each other sometimes. But when you're preaching and when you're teaching, it can get kind of ugly. And there are a lot of spiritually sensitive and spiritually mature people who it really bothers when you're up there in the pulpit and you're saying something ugly about your wife. Even if you say, oh, I'm just teasing. She knows I'm just teasing. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't make fun of your kids. Don't say things that make them look bad, make your wife look bad. Don't say things that make other people look bad either. Say things that make you look bad. It will make you look more humble, even if you're not very humble. It will make you look more humble because arrogant guys are always poking fun at their wives, poking fun at their kids, poking fun at other people, but never themselves. The humbler guys are able to laugh at themselves. Can you laugh at yourself? You ought to be able to laugh at yourself. When you want to make a joke and at somebody else's expense, say, is there a way I can make this at my expense instead of their expense? And God will bless that. Number 40, carry a notepad, don't trust your memory. And I've blown this one so many times, it's very embarrassing. I've thought over and over again, there's no way I'll forget that. And then I forgot, and I embarrassed myself, and I let somebody down because I didn't do something I said I would do because I forgot. And forgetting is not a good excuse. It's just not. A lot of us feel like it is. We think, oh, well, I forgot, big deal. No, that makes us undependable. If we forget, we're not dependable, trustworthy people. And we need to write these things down. And I certainly haven't learned that lesson well, even to this day, which is a great embarrassment to me. But we need to write things down and not trust our memory.